Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Cole Pettum here, as always, and of course, we're here to talk all things Aston Villa Football Club with a 2-0 win at Villa Park against Wolverhampton Wanderers. Of course, it's been, close to 20 years since Villa have beaten Wolves in the Premier League at Villa Park, but it's finally happened again. The happy days, good things are happening under Unai Emery as per usual, but nonetheless, we do have Mr. Tom Nightingale joining me to talk all things Villa Wolves, and we'll look ahead to the City game on the Wednesday as well and just kind of mash them together, get a good sense of what's going on at the football club. Of course, we'll do our Twitter polls too and get you all guys out in a timely fashion with everyone's favorite game, Dean Smith's Juggling Sixth. Nonetheless, though, let's get over to Tom. Tom, how's it going with you?
Pretty good, not too bad. Glad to get the monkey off the back, so to speak, of the Wolves home record, because I know that's one that's been, Unai's been a pretty good curse breaker, in his time here so far, what with United and, everything. But the Wolves one was getting annoying, wasn't it, really? when you say it's been 20 years since we beat them in the Premier League, obviously it sounds worse. Beat them in the Premier League at home, I should say. Sounds worse than it is, given I think it's seven games because of our respective spells in the Championship. But, still, it's annoying. Everybody had the PTSD of the Ruben Neves free kick, that late comeback. Well, glad to sort of put that memory behind us. But more importantly, I think, like you said, with City coming up, that was a really important one to win, I think, for us coming off that international break, home game against a team that on paper we should be beating. You want to put those games away. That performance won't win any awards and won't make very many highlight reels, I don't think, in Villa's season review. But job done, right? And then onto a really big one on Wednesday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we'll have to wait and see how that one goes. And that's how we felt, of course, playing City previously. But again, it's one of those things where the nerves do go regardless of who you're playing in that, I guess you could say, the traditional top six or the sky top four, whatever you want to call them these days. But you can also say Villa are in that situation as well. So it's definitely a privilege. But Tom, if I were to read these stats to you, of course, first Premier League win over Wolves at Villa Park since December 14th, 2003, 50th Premier League / Aston Villa clean sheet for Emi Martinez, goals 61 and 62 of the Premier League campaign with 8 games remaining. And I think we're only something like 9 goals shy of our Premier League goal score record in one season, which it looks like we're going to smash that at this point. Still currently in fourth. I mean, it's a pretty darn good day at the office on Saturday at Villa Park, wasn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, it really was. Like I said, it's... I thought we looked quite disjointed quite a lot of the time in terms of the performance. We were quite sloppy, certainly for periods of the game. And I certainly don't think everybody played well. Shout out to dear Alex Moreno, who I like a lot as a fullback, but that was, I think, probably one of his worst games for the club. He just, I don't know what was going on, really, but everybody has bad days. And the key thing, like we say, really, is when you have bad days like that as an individual, or you have games where you are maybe struggling to really impose yourself, like I felt we were during the first half, it's about just being persistent, staying calm and patient and getting that breakthrough. And I don't think you can argue at all against us coming out as 2-0 winners. But I thought, even though we didn't play very well, we were very good value for 2-0. I mean, I will say, as we say so often on this podcast, thank you, Emi Martinez, for that save from Ait Nouri, who at the back post, who I do not think he knew he was onside. That was because his reaction, he seemed to be almost hoping that the offside flag was going to come up and save him, because he was pretty casual with this. With his shot. But I mean, it's just Emi Martinez coming up big again. You know what he does. And so then to go on and win the game from that big moment, that big turning point moment, was really, I think, really important for us. And I think to add to your stat list, it's all looking pretty good. I think I'm right in saying that Villa now, what are we on, 59 points?
Yes.
I think we're about 5 points off our record points tally from a 38 game Premier League season. I think, because obviously the seasons used to be longer when there were 22 teams in the league. I think since it went to 20 teams and went to 38 game season, I think our record is about 64 or 65 points. 8 games to go. Whatever happens from here on out, really, it's been a season I think has surpassed everybody's expectations, let's be real. And now it's just a question of, you know, what is the ceiling? Just what can we achieve with some big, you and I were talking before we started recording, big games still to come, right? City, Liverpool, Arsenal, there are other tricky ones, but obviously those are big ones on the slate coming up. We can have a big say in the title race, but more importantly, you know, we've got some really big tests of our mettle, I think, coming up over the run-in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
The one player I did want to get your thoughts on, Tom, was Morgan Rodgers yesterday. And I think a few people I saw online, I shouldn't say a lot, that wouldn't be fair, and a lot of people, I guess maybe that makes more sense, were kind of surprised maybe he's getting more minutes, or frustrated. Some people don't really understand why we still bought him. But I feel like, at least for me, watching him on the pitch yesterday, there's definitely times out of possession where I thought, oh God, he's young and inexperienced. But when he was on the ball, you can see why Villa made that purchase. And maybe it even looked like a little bit of a steal. Just the way he carries the ball is almost kind of very Jacob Ramsey-esque. Do you kind of see that? Do you know what I mean? He's a very good ball carrier. I understand the frustration with maybe not passing it. And we used to say that about a certain Jack Grealish at times too in the early days. And I'm not comparing the two, but there's definitely a bright marker on his future, I would say. Would you agree?
I think so. I thought he was very impressive. Like against Wolves, obviously he's not quite the complete package yet, but you know, he's coming in great form after scoring a brace for the England under-21s during the international break. One of those goals was really good as well. Took it around the goalkeeper. Great composure. So he came in great form, great confidence, or whatever. And clearly, I agree kind of with the Jacob Ramsey, Jack Grealish thing, just in the way that he carries the ball. Like a couple of the runs he went on, yeah, you know, he looked like Terminator out there, brushing people off, striding through. You know what I mean? He's a big guy. He's deceptively big. He's like an absolute unit. He's like if Jacob Ramsey somehow got impossibly jacked. So that physicality, that ability on the ball. I also think, you know, he's still settling in and he's a bit part player, but you can already see not only the ball carrying ability, but he's got a decent eye for a pass, and he's got a decent eye for, you know, he's playing quite deep, but I've seen enough already, I think, he knows how to get into dangerous positions. He knows how to drift in the way that I think creative and attacking midfielders, those kind of positions, sort of need to have that innate ability to find space in between the lines. He seems to have that stuff. And I mean, the thing with fans not really knowing why we signed him or questioning it or whatever, I guess I get it in a way. I think it's a symptom of raised expectations around this club over the last 18 months or whatever. Like, we are fighting for a Champions League spot. We've made some big money. I wouldn't necessarily say we've made many big name signings, but we've made a couple of big money signings, like your Moussa Diabis, those kind of people. So I get maybe like he's an underwhelming name, and I don't know how many also Villa fans, to be quite frank, really watch the English Championship week in, week out. I know I don't. So I don't know how much people really knew about him. But the big thing for me is we've said so many times since Emery's been in charge, like, who am I to question who Unai Emery and his incredibly experienced, incredibly successful staff of coaches, Villa's Villa's team of analysts and scouts and all these guys, like, who am I to question just because I don't watch the English Championship and Morgan Rogers isn't a household name with me? You know, who am I to question their judgment? Like, if Unai Emery and co spot something in a player that they think they can bring the best out of and they can nurture, genuinely, that is enough for me 10 times out of 10, because I really don't think they failed us so far in that regard.
No, I can't think of too many instances ever. To be honest, I can't even think of one instance where it's been a complete flop. I think maybe initially, and we'll probably talk about this in a few minutes down the road here about Nicolò Zaniolo, because I think he was maybe a case study at one point, but I think there's definitely a strong discussion against that now. Another one we have to discuss, Tom, Ezri Konsa. I mean, an incredible week or so for him, being called up to England, featuring quite often for England, playing very well for, of course, his home nation and your home nation. I should put that into context there. Scores a goal, of course, he meant to score against Wolves in that manner and chip the goalkeeper and putting it just ever so eloquently into the very far corner against the post. It was all meant to happen. We know that for certain. Joking, I'm sure it was just a cross. But I mean, what more can we say about Ezri Konsa at this point? Because it's kind of funny in looking at this as a podcast to when I jumped on when Villa first bought Ezri Konsa, kind of talking about the hopes of ambitions and what he could become. And we've definitely kind of went through that whole redemption arc and the growth and development period with him. But this is just seeing out and out a dominant center back, and he's Villa's, and he's just brilliant, isn't he?
He is. Like, it's become a cliched phrase to call a player a Rolls Royce. I know that it was Dino, wasn't it, used it about Ezri Konsa, and he was in charge. You hear it bandied around a lot now for players, but it's because it's a good metaphor. Like, he's not a luxury player, is he? But he is like the highest class and caliber of player, I think. And he's the car that everyone wants in the garage, right? I whisper it quietly. Thankfully, I don't think very many non-Villa fans, and certainly no, you know, people, decision makers at other football clubs listen to Holtcast Weekly. If you do,
come on.
If you do, let us know. I think that Ezri Konsa could play for any team in the Premier League. I really do. I think he's that good. You know, he just goes about his business quietly. For me, like, everything that I think probably everything that you get from like a Virgil van Dijk kind of player, I think you get from Ezri Konsa, to be honest. I think you have for a while. He had that spell, didn't he? I can't remember now because time goes so quickly. But, well, you know, he's out, wasn't he, with a bit of a knee injury or something. And he came back and he wasn't at the level that he had been before because he'd been out for a while, played his way back in. But for months and months, all year, you know, he has been exceptional. The way he can just be pushed. I still don't really like pushing him out to right back. And I know there's a question coming from the Twitter polls. I don't really like him being pushed out to right back, mainly because his best position is at centre back.
That's a luxury, though.
But it's a luxury. And the fact that you can push him out to right back and you know what you're getting, and now you're also getting sublime finishes from the wing, is testament to the guy. It's testament to him as a person. It's testament to his just sheer ability. I think he's one of those players that we're very, very lucky to have. You know, I'd put people like, you know, definitely Ollie Watkins, obviously Emi Martinez. I'd definitely put like your Douglas Luiz in that bracket this year, particularly this year. There's a certain class of player that I don't want to sound small time when I say it, because we deserve to be where we are in the league. But these are players who could play for most teams in, I don't know, about the world. I mean, for Emi Martinez, obviously he could play for any team in the world. These players could play for any team in the league, I think. So in that regard, we are lucky to have them. And Konsa is one of those. He's been with us for so long now. You know, if you didn't have people like Mings and John McGinn there, you know, Ezri Konsa's captain material, you know, he's leader material. He's somebody that I want to continue to see form part of the spine of Villa for years and years to come. So to see him have the week he's had, you know, the England thing must mean a lot to him. I'm just glad he's back safe and sound, I'll be honest with you, as I am every time a Villa player plays for England or any other country. But, you know, that will mean a lot to him after a while of being overlooked, and then to come back and to score. You know, fantastic. He deserves all the good things he gets, really.
And he's only 26. I think that's the best thing.
I was wondering how old he was when I was saying that. I don't actually know. I felt like he was like mid-20s, maybe a bit older.
I love saying only 26 when I'm almost 30, and that makes me feel incredibly old for some reason. I hate realizing that footballers are actually younger than me now. But I mean, that's just unfortunately what happens over time. And at this point in our lives, we just have to accept that, Tom, don't we? I mean, in a more humorous way, if you're going to stick a center back up at striker, because Villa have done that in the past, of course. You look at Chris Samba playing at striker way back in the day.
Good times, man.
Would Ezri Konsa be the next one out of our center back grouping to play striker? Because, I mean, you remember that goal he scored across in the States? I can't remember. Was it against Fulham or was it against Newcastle?
I can't remember who it was against, but I know the one, when he went dancing through from like behind the halfway line. Or
just saying, if Watkins and Duran go down, and please do not, and everyone else just can't do it, Ezri Konsa, he can finish.
I've got a sneaking suspicion that Ezri Konsa is one of these Swiss Army knife players who could play anywhere if you asked him to. I really do. I could see him as a defensive, not that I'm trying to move him around the pitch. I'm very happy with him where he is in the centre back, right back slot. But I mean, he's got the poise on the ball and everything that he could make an auxiliary sort of defensive midfielder, emergency centre forward. I'm sure he'd have an impact. He's one of these players I'm really glad to have. And looking ahead to like City, you know, it was only Wolves, and sorry, Wolves fans, I'm not really sorry, but it was only Wolves, but it was Wolves as well without like Pedro Neto, who's undoubtedly like their key threat and that sort of stuff. Might have been a bit of a different kettle of fish if he were fit. But Man City up next on Wednesday. I saw something after, so we're recording this after Man City Arsenal, after that snooze fest where they just cancelled each other out, I kind of suspected they might. And I saw comments from like Gary Neville, I think, after the game, saying like he hasn't seen a team all season who's been able to shut down Man City the way that Arsenal did. Hello. Hello. Well, you know, we did it in December. We've done it. We've shut Man City's attack down once already this season. I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination I expect us to go to the Etihad and win. Gone are the times where I go to the Etihad knowing we're going to lose. You know, it feels very, very different these days. And with players like Ezri Konsa, if you're looking for somebody to mark like Erling Haaland out the game or to cut off Kevin De Bruyne's passing lanes, that sort of stuff, if all goes well, we've got those players.
True. And the thing there too, you have to kind of sit back and look at it. This is probably, and I didn't feel like this going into that doubleheader against City and Arsenal. And actually, when I'm thinking about it, I don't know if you'll know this off the top of your head, Tom, are Villa the only sides, or this one side, obviously, this season, if I can speak sensible English, that have taken City and Arsenal to 1-0 losses? Both within a season. I would assume so.
I would have to guess so, yeah. Like this season.
Yes, I would assume so. I don't think anyone else has beaten both of them.
No, I would have to. I would assume so as well. I don't even know how many. They can't have lost many between them, can they?
No, and I'm not going to sit here and lie to everyone and say that's going to happen again within the next few weeks. But you look at City and you look at, I think, of course, now they're saying Ake could be injured. Of course, when we played City before, I think they were missing Rodri and Grealish and a few others. I mean, Grealish never plays against us anyway, so
it was pre De Bruyne returning, wasn't it? Which just does change the game a
it
lot.
It does, but... and of course we don't have McGinn either. Still, I think he's after City he returns.
Has he missed one already? I can't remember.
Well, he would have missed, of course, against Wolves, and he would have missed.
Yeah, before. I mean,
well, maybe that was only his first one. I can't remember. Regardless of it, he's going to miss City. There's no way in hell he's not. Maybe he comes back against Arsenal, or maybe it was after. Regardless, that is a big miss. And I think a lot of people were saying that against Wolves that we were missing him in that game. And of course, he's an engine in the midfield. Of course, we're going to miss Kamara too. That's a massive one when you look at City. But I think there's enough about this Villa team, and it's evident under Unai Emery, that we can sit in, and he said it so many times, we can suffer against these teams and hold out. Of course, there's been times where we just absolutely fall apart, but most teams do, unless you are a City or an Arsenal. And even at times, that's been proven
wrong.
So we'll have to wait and see. But I mean, there's no reason within the City game, at least, and kind of going forward, to not go in with confidence. I mean, we're fourth. We deserve to be there. It's not a fluke. Everyone has injuries. Things happen. Haaland's not scoring a gazillion goals at this point. He hasn't really been consistent really since pre-injury for him. I guess you could look at Foden or a few others on their teams that could pop up. They're going to have a lot of possession at home. We'll see what happens, but I don't go into this quietly thinking, you know what, let's just hold back and not get smashed like 6-1 or something.
No, I mean, times have definitely changed, haven't they? And like, don't get me wrong, like we're saying, like City have got so many game changers. But the thing is that they might not be the same caliber of name, but we've got game changers, you know. Leon Bailey, I thought, was very quiet against Wolves. You know, if Leon Bailey comes alive again, the form that he's been in this season, I'd back him running at any defense, you know. I think the thing is that City aren't, you know, there have been seasons in the past when City have won the league where they've been untouchable. You know, they're nowhere near that level for me this year. So that's the thing. I think just go in. I can't, you know, we're not going to, there's no way we go in there with any fear. I would like to have McGinn in the midfield there, you know, for that game, but you got to take what comes at you, haven't you? So I think the thing is just, yeah, I mean, there's nothing to fear, is there really these days?
No.
And I think, I don't really care what the world thinks about, you know, what the rest of the league or the world thinks about Villa being fourth, because, you know, we know now, where are we? We've played 30 games, have we, this season? I've lost track now. Yeah, we've played 30. So, you know, we're like, if you're fourth after 30 games, you're fourth in the league. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's no illusion. It's not that you're fourth after 10 games. Like, we fully deserve to be where we are. And I've said this a lot this year, but I'm not, you know, talking about going into the City game with no fear. I'm excited to see what Villa can do the rest of this season, both domestically and abroad. That's it. Like, even if we have what we would describe from our, you know, let's not get blasé about it, from a higher position than any of us really expected Villa to be, I think, this year. Even if we had a bit of a whimper to end the season, it's been a fantastic year. I'm just excited to see what we can do, because we've proven already, like with City and with Arsenal, that on our day we can beat anyone in this league.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Kind of feels like the rest of the season, it isn't, but it almost feels like to me that the rest of the season is a bit of a free hit. And what I primarily mean by that is I don't really feel like there's any pressure on us because we're not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And of course, knock on wood, and I don't think it's going to happen, but United are so far behind. Realistically, it's going to be a top five, it looks like, for Champions League football. Of course, they're still going to have to qualify if you're in fifth, and probably even, I'd imagine, fourth. So you'll start next season a little bit earlier, but again, it's a privilege. But I look at all these games, and you look at the Wolves game, and I didn't think, like you said so correctly, Tom, near the start, I didn't think Villa were fantastic. It wasn't first half the season Villa, and we're still winning games. Like, that's the difference. This is a different Villa, like, completely. The fact that we are probably at, like, I don't know, what do you say, like 65%, 70% maybe, for being generous, in terms of what we were at earlier stages in the season.
Yeah, yeah.
If that was first half of the season Villa, that's like 5-0 in my opinion. Yeah. It's just, I'm not saying we're not being as ruthless, but there's a lot of miles on those legs, injuries, yada, yada, yada. You can go through that list. But I just sit back at it and you look at every single one of these games. And I mean, Unai Emery says it as well, like until it's like game 33, 34 in this position, then he'll say yes or no, which is coming up very soon. So I guess we'll see if his kind of mannerisms and his, I guess what he says changes. But yeah. I think it's going to, just with the way we're playing. And like, again, I go into these games thinking, let's see what happens. If we lose 1-0 or 2-1 or whatever to City, I'm not worried about it. I don't think that does anything. It's not like Spurs don't have heart games, or if United think they're going to catch us, which I just don't think they are. I don't know if that's going to jinx us, but regardless, they have difficult games as well. Teams are going to slip up. There's so much still to play for. Again, I go into all these games and you think, just go for it. But the one thing I did want to get your thoughts on, Tom, and I'll bring it up now because it has nothing to do with the City game, but it did have something to do with the Wolves game. And now, of course, I probably just lost the quote. There it is. Gary O'Neill.
Oh, my goodness.
I quote, higher possession, higher XG. You add Pedro Neto, Cunha to that XG, and I'm sure it would have mattered. I don't know if I've ever heard a professional football manager use XG and saying if certain players were in his squad, they would have done better. That's like Unai Emery coming out and saying, well, you know what, if we would have had Tyrone Mings, Emi Buendia, yeah, Boubacar Kamara, I don't know, if prime Robert Pires just somehow appeared and decided he could play again X number of years later. Like, odd or what? It just, I don't know. Every time we play him, it's an odd statement. And it's just against Villa. I don't know. I'm not really paying attention to his quotes against either teams, but just strange.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit, if my grandma had wheels, she'd be a bicycle, isn't it? You know, if my auntie had bollocks, she'd be my uncle. It's like, who? So what? Every team's got injuries. And the thing with me, like Gary O'Neill, I was on one of our Hulkcast recordings recently, and Simon was on, and Simon rates Gary O'Neill as a manager quite highly, which I have to say, I do as well. I think he does a very good job wherever he goes so far, whatever. But if that's my manager and you're talking like that after a game where you've been deservedly beaten, where in a game that there wasn't really that much in it, we were the better team, but I didn't think either team was particularly good. Wolves, like if anyone's trying to argue that Wolves deserved a point from that game, they're nuts. You know, I didn't think they offered anything really. But the big thing that came out of me for that, like that Gary O'Neill interview, the thing that hit home immediately when he said that, and he started talking about XG, if we had these players here, if we hadn't, Unai Emery hasn't once given a press conference like that in his entire time here. Like when Villa lose, Unai Emery says we weren't good enough. We were too open here. We didn't take our chances here. We need to work on this stuff here. Because that's what that elite mindset as a manager does.
It's different levels, isn't it?
It is. You look at your team's performance and you can acknowledge that the reason you haven't got anything from this game is because you could have done things better. That's almost always true. Like you can even, you know, it might be different if you're like a Brentford, like Brentford Man United, we were talking about before we came on, how Brentford didn't win that game. All anti-Man United bias aside for now, as best I can. But like anybody who watched that game, how Brentford didn't win that game is beyond me. But even in that situation, Brentford would have won that game if they'd have taken more of their chances. That's a Brentford failing, right? They should have taken their chances. Like if Wolves had, if Ait Nouri had scored past Martinez, we might be having a very different conversation now. But he didn't. He failed to score. Like it's got nothing to do with your players that are missing. It's got nothing to do with XG. Okay, XG in some ways is an indicator that you had opportunities to score, but having opportunities to score means fuck all, really, you know, if you don't score them. It's a very basic thing to say, but it's a basic truth. And so what I like the most about it is that Unai Emery never does that, and I think that's just testament to the caliber of manager that we were able to achieve. And imagine if you're a player playing under Unai Emery and you hear when you come off the field and you've had a negative result, Unai Emery knows immediately where the team could have been better. And so he knows immediately what to work on the training ground for the next week. He knows how they're going to come with a remedy for that problem. Imagine how galvanizing that must be as a player to know that there's a manager who knows, who can identify the failings and has the solutions in mind already. None of this bullshit, like we've been missing players, like, you know, whatever. You know, Unai Emery, I don't think I've heard him once complain about a referee. He just doesn't do it. And so to have a manager like that, A, is a fantastic feeling as a fan. And B, you know, that it's a big, big reason for the position that Villa are in, you know.
100%. And even when you look at it, I mean, like you said there, Tom, Gary O'Neill's a very good coach. It just, I was half expecting him to turn into full Steven Gerrard and say, somebody needs to step up with a moment of magic.
Moment of magic, yeah.
Jesus Christ. I don't understand the comments he makes every single time, but regardless, enough whinging there. Let's get over to the Twitter polls. Why not? And to be honest, I'm going to give myself a round of applause because I don't know if anyone can tell. My voice is a little bit croaky. Been sick for several days now, finally getting over it. But for some reason now I just want to cough nonstop, even though I haven't coughed all day. So I do apologize if that's affecting a little bit of the quality. I guess I should have put that as a disclaimer at the start, but we're nearing the end. So at least I'm honest at some point, but regardless of that.
On the home stretch now, Cole.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm looking forward to the most. So of course you can tweet us or X us, whatever you want to call it these days, at Holtcast over on Twitter/X. And there's three polls going out every Sunday-ish, we'll say. Of course, the schedule is going to get a little bit loopy with all the games. But of course, you can vote on those going forward. It's always appreciated. Good to see the engagement as always. So the first one, and of course, I want to get Tom's thoughts on these. I'm sure he probably voted on them already since they've expired. But the first question was, who do you prefer at right back? The two options were Matty Cash or Ezri Konsa. Tom, who did you go for?
I voted for Ezri Konsa. Like, I'm not really down on Matty Cash. I think generally he's a good fullback, but I think, you know, I think partly is that I've got the game at I've got a game against City at the Etihad in mind because it's next up. Like, there's not really a world in which I would rather have Matty Cash at right back than Ezri Konsa in that game.
Did we play with Ezri Konsa against City at right back? Now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like we did.
You're vastly overestimating my memory. I'm gonna have a look. I can't remember.
Okay. Well, fair enough. I'm just gonna say that happened because I feel like
we did.
Yeah.
Concert Carlos Torres Dean was the defense when we beat City 1-0.
And that probably will be the four at the back.
I would think so. Yeah.
So you know what? Maybe we'll get a little bit of a look into the past going into the future. But yeah, no, I would go with Ezri Konsa as well. No hate to Matty Cash. I mean, he basically just put the possibility of having future children on the line against West Ham, blocking a last-minute goal attempt with his family jewels. But of course, Ezri Konsa did win that one, 58.3% to Matty Cash being 41.7%. So
I guess we should also mention as well that it's just occurred to me, like, it's in terms of Wednesday's game, it's not a question anyway, is it? Because isn't Matty Cash still injured?
Yeah, for 2 to 3 weeks. I guess we should mention that. And of course,
forgot about that. Yeah,
of course, Ollie Watkins should be hopefully okay as well, but we'll have to wait and see. Look like it was just a little bit of a hamstring thing there. Forgot to mention that too, but regardless, we're mentioning it now. That's all that matters here on the Holtcast. Second question, of course, with Villa playing at the Etihad on Wednesday against City, who will win? Options, of course, there's only three: City winning, a draw, or Villa winning. Tom, what are you going for?
I don't think I actually did vote on this one on Twitter. I'm going to say draw. I think
I'll take it.
I would take it. I would take it right now. I think we can beat them. I also think they can definitely beat us. And so I think when that's the situation, you kind of, you know, if you get a draw, you shake hands and you walk away pretty pleased, right? So I'll go with draw. I do think we'll raise our game for it. And it's well within our capability.
Yeah, and of course, this is me being a little confident, but I mean, City have a game on the weekend as well coming up, and then they have Real Madrid the following week. A little bit of an injury bug going around as well, as most teams do at this point of the season. I think maybe they're going to need to do a little bit of rotation, but keep in mind with City, that rotation is still very, very strong.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm going to go with a draw as well, to be honest. That's sitting on the fence a bit, but I think City drawing two games in a row is a massive dent. They won't want that to happen, nor would they want that to happen. But I don't know. I just feel good about it for some reason. But watch us lose now that I say that. But wait and see. Regardless of that, a lot of negative people voted on this. 50.9% went with a City win, 34% went with a draw, and a brave 15.1% went with a Villa win. So kudos to you, 15.1%. Of course, the most important question, and finally, is the Easter Bunny real? Tom, I mean, surely he is, right?
I mean, listen, I've never seen the Easter Bunny, but there are lots of things in life I've never seen, and I don't believe that they're all fake. So who am I to say?
Well, I mean, there are rabbits.
Maybe. There are rabbits. Easter is a thing.
Those maybe eggs. When we all go to bed, maybe they turn into talking reincarnations of a bunny rabbit.
Listen, like those Easter eggs don't hide themselves, do they? So
exactly. Well, 52.6% of people said yes. And 47.4 obviously said no. Of course, of the old 7500 Holt fame, Oliver Hawthorne, one of our old writers on there, he said, "I saw the Easter Bunny in Family Guy, so it must be real." And then he sent in a little bit of a screenshot with Peter Griffin talking to Jesus, and Peter Griffin is the Easter Bunny, so he must be real. That's all we have to put there. We're not talking about controversies or hoaxes. If you want to get onto that, make a group chat about that on Twitter, go ahead. If we've started that, you are welcome. But regardless of that, let's get over to this.
So, you know, hence me getting a yellow card for saying I think you've had juggling balls for Christmas.
And right, it's finally time for Dean Smith's Juggling Six. And of course, this is Wolves v Villa related. And I don't know if Tom has finally clued in on the quote I brought in earlier and who this edition of Dean Smith's Juggling Six might be about, but it's Gary O'Neill. And I thought, you know what, this fits very nicely because Gary O'Neill has had a very long playing career, which he started his senior career in 2000, lasted all the way until 2019. So looking at this, he's played for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 clubs, with two of those being on loan. So Tom, I'll give you, let's be generous here, I'll give you three chances to get it wrong. I want six teams that Gary O'Neill has played for out of nine in his career.
You want six teams that Gary O'Neill has played for?
No order. I'll be very kind there. And potentially, if you're struggling that much, I might give you a hint, but we'll see how you do first.
What I'm assuming is going to have happened here is that he played the bulk of his career with the two clubs who immediately come to mind for me, which I don't know what order they were in, but the team I most associate him with is Middlesbrough.
Correct.
And he also played for Portsmouth. Correct. for a few years.
He played 174 games for Pompey between 2000 to 2007.
Yeah, there you go. And then, was it Portsmouth, and then he went to Middlesbrough?
Yeah, where he made 109 appearances between 07 and 2011. Now, there were two loans while he was at Pompey as well.
Not in a million years.
Okay. Well, maybe you can have a wild guess there. So there's two out of six. You're actually doing pretty well.
And then I assume what happens if he was there for a while, both of those, I assume what happens then is he goes a bit journeyman towards the end of his career. If he's played for nine clubs, okay, two loans at Portsmouth, so what, there are five left that I haven't, there are five left, not including the loans, right, that I haven't named. I assume he goes, you know, a year here, a year there, which is why I can't fucking think of anymore.
I feel like you should get at least two of these.
Did he play for West Ham?
Correct. That was the next one from 2011 to 2013. He made 48 appearances. You're doing actually very well. I'll give you that.
That West Ham has come out of nowhere.
I feel like you should get one of these at least, because one of these was in the Premier League. I'll give you that as a hint.
Oh, he's going to have played. One of these was in the Premier League.
I'm pretty sure it was in the Premier League.
It's going to be one of these. It's going to be one of these clubs, isn't it? One of these.
A lot of these clubs.
One of these relegation fodder types.
Yeah, a lot of these were in the Championship. I will give you that. Yeah. That's my two massive hints I can give you, because it's not really fair if I leave you on an old stranded deserted island with no food or water.
I cannot believe you've asked for six of these clubs.
Well, it's just juggling six. It has to be six.
Well, I suppose it does, yeah. He strikes me as a very, like, I don't think he played for, like, no, it's actually the timing doesn't match up. I was going to say he strikes me as somebody who'd have played for, like, a Reading or, like, you know, like one of those clubs who were here.
I'm going to press you for a guess.
I'm getting mind blank now. No, I think I'm losing steam.
Have a go. You have three chances to get it wrong.
Let's go for a. I can't even think of anyone who's been up for a bit.
Just
and
name
then been
some
relegated.
Championship teams. God.
Blackburn. No, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. Okay. I withdraw that guess. Oh, QPR.
Correct. That's the next team on the list from 2013 to 2014. Made 29 appearances.
Man.
The next one's one I think you should be getting, and you're going to kick yourself if you don't.
See, if we made this like a two-hour-long... Based on this, if we made this a two-hour-long podcast, I might be able to come up with all of them, because I don't know where West Ham or QPR came from there.
Fair enough. Two more to go. I think you can do it. I'll give you 5 seconds to name the next one. 5, 4, 3, 2.
How about like a... Did he Sheffield United? Was he, you know, did he spend like a year somewhere like that?
No, he did not. You still have two chances to get things wrong, though. So just throw out another club.
Let's go for like a... how about a... no, Derby doesn't work time-wise, does it? Pretty sure he's never played for like a Leeds. Although I could see that, but that's...
I'll give you one final hint. Three of the five club left are in the Championship right now. And two are in League One, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
League One. Oh, how about... Oh, no, they're in the Championship now. Oh, like a Wigan? Could see him being at like a Wigan. No.
Incorrect. You have one left.
Tricky. Honestly, I'll take the... Like a draw at Man City, I'll take the 4 out of 6 and run.
If I were to say a definition of a yo-yo side...
I mean, when you say that, I still think West Brom, but they don't... he's not played for West Brom. I'd remember that, definitely.
But if you're thinking of another yo-yo side, who would you think of?
Yeah, he's bounced around a bit. Norwich or a yo-yo side?
Correct. There you go.
Really? He's played for Norwich. I would never.
That's what I when I think of Gary O'Neill, I think of Norwich. From 2014 to 2016, yes, I do. You know that random kit they had like blocks where it was yellow and green or whatever it looked like? Yeah.
I would. I was gonna say I would never have guessed that, but I guess I just did, didn't I, with a couple of hints.
Yeah.
But
so there's 5 out of 6. Do you want to have one more go here very quickly?
I've run out. I'm running out of teams to name, to be honest.
Okay, just name one.
I know he hasn't played for them, but like I'm still thinking kind of, well, they're not really yo-yo. Like a Leicester when they were shit?
No. Well, that was a good try. Your other options were Walsall, Cardiff City on loan. Those were the two loans.
Right.
Bristol City was after Norwich for a couple of years, and then he finished career at Bolton.
Oh, Bolton. Maybe that was guessable, actually. I would never in a million years have got Walsall, Cardiff, or Bristol City. Bolton, like he seems like a Bolton guy, actually. Now that you say that, I can see that.
Yeah,
honestly, I will take that and run.
Yeah, I mean, you need a massive help with the Norwich one, which I thought you would have gotten, but I'm still very, very proud of you. So, Dean Smith, of course, wins this round. So, good to Dean Smith, and of course, to is it Charlotte FC or SC? I can't even remember.
Charlotte FC, I think FC. They are. There, okay. Yeah.
Well, I hope him and Ashley Westwood are doing very, very well together.
Ashley Westwood scored an absolute screamer the other day for Charlotte. I think it won MLS Goal of the Week or something. So if anybody is interested, look that up because it was like an absolute bullet.
I'm not going to lie. I was looking the other day on the Charlotte FC website and I thought, do I fancy getting a Charlotte FC with Westwood on the back? Just for... I don't know. You never know if you want to look at that in 10 years and smile.
I would never have got a Villa kit with his name on the back, but I'm somehow more tempted to get a Charlotte one. Yeah, no, they're a fun, honestly, this Charlotte quite a fun team to watch, actually. So if anybody is looking for some casual MLS interest as a Villa fan, you could. Charlotte's probably your place to be.
Yeah, if you're looking to start following MLS side, I mean, there's two former villains there. We'll have to see what other connections Dino can pull out from Villa or... from Villa's past, but regardless of that, Tom, let's get out of here. I think that's been more than long enough, at least for the game, at least. So we'll wrap things up there. Thank you all very much. And of course, to Mr. Tom Nightingale for joining me. Of course, you can find him on Twitter/X at TD Nightingale. find me at Talk Aston Villa. And of course, tweet the team at Holtcast Pod. If you want to email us for any God-given reason, it's at holtcast@gmail.com. We should be back, hopefully, post-City. We'll have to wait and see who is available. And hopefully, it's another positive result in Villa's charge for Champions League football. But we'll leave it there. And don't forget, up the Villa.
We're going up. We're going up.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.